Welcome back to Smothered and Covered in Blood, the anthology of Southern horror served up in the form of a podcast. Well, we've reached the end of this anthology series and we're going out with the namesake episode. Hurricanes are a big problem for most of the South, and with the way things are going, they're only going to keep getting worse. So where are you supposed to go if you don't feel safe at home during a storm? In this week's episode, find out what happens when someone seeking refuge from the storm inside her favorite roadside diner finds herself in a situation far more terrifying than the hurricane outside, in Smothered and Covered.
We recording? This is FEMA Human Service Disaster Assessment Team Leader Cooper Foxdale, filing audio case report number 221031, reporting from the aftermath of Hurricane Michael. This is the interview of the lone survivor we found in the wreckage of the Pancake Palace off Highway 42. Store number 2006, which was destroyed by the storm with several confirmed fatalities within the wreckage. Can you please state your name for the record?
My name is Victoria Chisholm.
Miss Chisholm.
It's Mrs. Chisholm, technically.
Oh, my apologies.
It's fine, but please just call me Victoria.
Victoria, was your husband with you at the Pancake Palace? Sorry to be blunt, but we're still trying to identify the bodies we found at the site.
No, my husband was not with me. As far as I know, he's still at home. That's where I left him, at least. To be honest, I really don't care where he is, or if he's living, floating face down in some storm water somewhere.
Have the two of you been experiencing issues at home?
Mister, what's your name again?
Cooper Foxdale.
Well, Mr. Cooper Foxdale, I drove to the local Pancake Palace in the middle of a hurricane. Do you think any happy wife would take a risk like that?
No, I don't suppose so.
You suppose correctly, Mr. Foxdale. A person only takes a risk like that if it's less threatening than staying at home. And I'll leave the details of my married life at that.
I understand. Sorry, where was I?
You said you turned on the recorder. You wanted to ask me about what happened last night at the Pancake Palace. But I can tell you now that this is a waste of time. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you.
And why is that, Victoria?
Because I don't believe it myself.
Weird things happen during storms. Structures start breaking and water start rising and people panic and make decisions they normally wouldn't make.
Like me, you mean?
I'm not here to pass judgment on you or anyone else. In instances of storm-related fatalities, it's my duty to investigate the circumstances surrounding the event in question and find out as much as I can about what happened in hopes the agency and I can prevent it from happening again in the future. So please, let's start at the beginning. When did you arrive at the Pancake Palace?
I don't remember the exact time. It was at the onset of the storm. Right when the outer band started whipping across the roof. You know the sound. When the rain runs from one end of the roof to the other like some kind of shitty xylophone.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Well, Carl hates that noise. Carl, that's my husband. He knows when that heavy rain starts that the leaks will follow in short order. So when he started screaming and cussing at the ceiling, history's told me he'd soon get a pain in his neck and instead of shouting at the ceiling, he'd start screaming at me. So, rather than subject myself to that for hours, I decided to take my chances at the Pancake Palace. I know you Fed types use them as your barometers or whatever for figuring out how bad a storm is. So I figured if I had to ride out the storm outside my home, may as well go there.
Sorry to interrupt, but why didn't you go to a shelter?
A shelter? Why the hell would I go to a shelter? Agent, I've lived around these parts my entire life. I've lost track of how many hurricanes I've weathered, and they don't scare me anymore. And this was what, a Category 2? I'm not going to some dumb high school gym filled with a bunch of randos just so I can sit on some shitty cot for a few hours because of a Category 2 hurricane?
I see.
Plus, I'm a bit of a regular at the Pancake Palace. Not many places open 24 hours around here, so it's usually the only game in town when I have to get out of the house.
I understand. How many other patrons were in the Pancake Palace when you arrived? Was it empty?
No. There were two other customers when I got there. An only one waitress and the line cook. It's not a big place. There are what, 10 tables along the edge, next to the windows, and a handful of stools at the counter? I know I was the only one at the counter. I always sit at the counter, and always the same stool as long as no one else has grabbed it. The damn seat is probably molded to my ass by this point. Excuse my language. Anyways, it was quiet in there when I arrived. He must have been bored, because when I strolled in, Reggie made a big show of me arriving during the storm. He started giving me a hard time, asking if I was pregnant and craving hash browns and a short stack. That's my usual order. I told him to cut the shit. Otherwise, I was going back out into the storm, and he laughed. That's the thing about Reggie. He was the funniest person in the world to him and him alone, but still a good guy.
Was Reggie another regular?
No, he's the cook. Has been for as long as I can remember. He was flipping jacks back when my grandma used to take me as a little girl.
Have we identified anyone as Reggie?
You don't have to whisper. I know he's dead. I saw it happen.
You saw him die?
I did. I saw them all die.
I'm so sorry you had to witness that. Watching the building fall apart atop them, that's terrible.
Oh no. They were dead before the roof collapsed.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I thought that's why you were interviewing me. I thought you wanted to know about the maniac that murdered everyone.
Murdered?
Yeah, murdered. By that weird fella in the black rain slicker and the rain cap. Like the bad guy in the I Know What You Did Last Summer movie. First, it was the college guys. Then the trucker. And then the waitress. That's when Reggie rushed me into the office to lock me in and grab his gun.
Mrs. Chisholm, I need you to start at the very beginning. What happened last night?
Like I already said, the hurricane started and I went to the Pancake Palace. I got in before the storm picked up and there were two guys sitting in the booths.
Were they sitting together?
No, they were both alone. One was sitting alone at the table by the door. I think he was a trucker. You know, the look. Cheap trucker hat from a gas station somewhere out of state, tattered flannel, unflattering jeans, and shit-kicker boots. Had a bit of a belly and the look of a guy who pisses in empty soda bottles half the time, even when he's not driving. The other customer was a guy. At least, I assume he was a guy. Never saw the face. Who was sitting alone in the far corner of the place in a rain jacket and one of those big floppy rain hats. I figured it was a hobo or something since they were just sitting there kind of rocking back and forth, but I kept looking at them out of the corner of my eye and I realized that his jacket and getup weren't raggedy like the clothes a lot of unhoused folks wear. They looked sleek and shiny. At first, I thought it was glistening from rainwater that was still on it, but it was bone dry. It just glistened with this black sheen like it was some high-class leather or something. Either way, whatever this person's deal was, I figured Reggie was letting them hole up in there to ride out the storm. Whoever they were minding their own business, and that's really all you want when cramped in a tight spot like the Pancake Palace. That trucker, though? He was a real piece of shit. After I sat down and made some small talk with Reggie, I heard the waitress yelp and drop a cup and saucer to the ground because that guy pinched her ass when she walked away from him. Then he saw me glaring at him, and he asked if I needed someone to warm me up. That's when Reggie brandished his spatula at the asshole and told him, I don't care if Michael is raging like a bitch outside. If you're going to act the fool, I'm going to throw you in that goddamn storm. And that shut him up right quick. Well, that settled things down for a while, until this carload of three college guys showed up drunk out of their minds. They barged in and started yelling and celebrating that the diner still had power because their dorm had gone dark, and they ran out of booze and now needed tall stacks to help them sober up. I seriously considered leaving after they arrived because they were obnoxious the moment they walked in. But the rain was coming down in sheets by that point, and I knew it was too late to get out of there. Should've listened to my gut, I guess. Anyway, These three numbnut college guys won't shut the fuck up, but we all sort of realized we were stranded with them, and Reggie and that waitress knew the best and fastest way to quiet them down was to feed them and sober them up ASAP. So, the waitress. I can't remember her name. There always seems to be a new late-night waitress every time I go in there. So anyway, she starts taking their order, and one of the guys ordered hash browns, smothered, and covered. No big deal, right? A normal order. But that weirdo in the corner? The one with the black rain jacket and hat? They started muttering to themselves. Smothered and covered. Over and over and over. It was like when someone hears a phrase in a foreign language and they have no fucking clue what it means, but it sounds so phonetically pleasing they just keep saying it over and over like it's a soothing mantra or something. It reminded me of Drew Barrymore and that movie Donnie Darko, how she was obsessed with the phrase cellar door, and thought it was the most beautiful phrase in existence, because she's some moron who's probably never seen a cellar door in her life. It was like that. And wouldn't you know it, those drunk hyenas noticed it, and they started mocking him and laughing their drunk asses off, thinking it's the funniest shit in the world. They thought they were calling him a fucking freak under their breath, but the entire diner heard them. The storm wasn't even loud enough to drown them out yet. I saw Reggie getting pissed off. He has this way of contorting his forehead when a customer gets too annoying and needs to be set straight. But that waitress put her hand on his shoulder and whispered something in his ear, and Reg nodded and went back to the griddle and finished the order. Well, while I was watching the two of them behind the counter saying whatever they were saying to each other, the rain jacket guy made his way over to the table with the college guys and forced his way onto one of the booth benches and started staring at each of them, one by one. Didn't say a thing. He just stared. He just stared at each one of them for what felt like minutes. But it was probably only a few seconds. But I could see from where I was sitting, he was staring at them with these big empty eyes that were still some kind of threatening, I guess. I don't really know how to describe it, but he stared at these boys like he was staring into their souls. Then he'd look at the next one and repeat the process. Did that to each and every one of them. And no one knew what to do, really. And gave me the creeps. After the initial weirdness wore off, those boys started chirping at him again. And you know how drug college guys are. Nothing but tough talk and bravado. First guy was like, can I help you? And the rain jacket guy still didn't say anything. He just stared at this college kid. And something about this rain jacket guy's look just shut that kid up. But then, one of his meathead friends chimed in, threatening to beat this guy up. That's when the waitress leapt over the counter and brought over a half a quarter of hash browns and runny pancakes, trying to defuse the situation. She escorted the rain jacket back to his table, but he kept staring at those college kids, and they kept staring at him. And you could feel the tension in that place, as the only noises were the rain pelting the windows, butter sizzling on the griddle, and these drunk jackasses chewing on undercooked food. Well, it turns out that by hurrying up the order in order to prevent a fight, Reggie screwed up one of the hash brown orders and forgot the onion. So, next thing I know, one of the drunk kids starts yelling, "I ordered smothered and covered, and these are only covered. It only has jizz." I remember that because I thought he said jizz at first. But then I realized he was probably from, like, California or something and spoke with some kind of weird accent. So he kept yelling, "My hash browns only have jizz, and I want my onions, and I'm not paying for this shit." He kept screaming. And Reggie kept telling him to pipe down, that he'd fix their order, but they needed to calm down. And I'm sitting there, praying to God for the eye of the storm to come soon so I could make a run for it. And then I noticed Rain Jacket. I'm just going to call him Rain Jacket from now on to make things easier. Rain Jacket, you know, he starts muttering to himself again. Smothered and covered. Smothered and covered. Smothered and covered. walks over to the drunk table, picks up a syrup pitcher from the middle of the table, and smashes it across the face of the asshole who kept bitching about their hash browns and jizz. And then all hell broke loose.
Jesus Christ.
Mr. Foxdale, that wasn't even the worst part. That was only the beginning of the worst night I've ever lived through. The next part is the part I warned you about because, I'm still not sure if I saw it or I dreamed it. Well, nightmared it would probably be the better term for it because, this was definitely no sweet dream.
I'm sure, but please, continue.
Like I said, Rain Jacket, smashed the syrup container across Chiz Boy's face and, knocked him out cold, and he landed in his hash browns and only had, chiz all over his face. So, one of his friends jumped out from the other side of the booth, and the other crawled over Chiz's face, and they tackled Rain Jacket to the ground. But he kept screaming, "Smothered and covered!" over and over. The waitress was trying to pull the college guys off of him, and then, wouldn't you know it, our trucker friend leaps up from his table, pulls out a gun, and he starts screaming to everyone to stop, but no one can hear him over Rain Jacket screaming. That's when Reggie grabbed me by the arm and pulled me over the counter into the kitchen area and told me to stay down behind the counter. But I didn't want to miss this shit. So, everyone's screaming and fighting, and Reggie starts throwing eggs at everybody trying to distract them. And the hurricane's picking up steam outside with the thunder and the lightning almost nonstop. And then, blam, that dumb fucking trucker let out a round and hit the waitress in the shoulder. And then everyone calms the fuck down, except for her, of course, because she starts screaming to high heaven with blood spurting out of her left shoulder.
Did anyone call an ambulance or the police? I didn't see any record of an emergency call from the location.
I guess not. One of the college boys kept saying, "Someone call 911," but I don't think anyone had enough time. Reggie left over the counter, finally smacked that trucker in the face with his hot spatula, so they start fighting. And the college kids were worried about their friend, and no one was paying any attention to that poor waitress, so I went to check on her. While I was trying to take off her apron and prop it up under her head, I heard more screaming from the drunk guys because, Rain Jacket? Shit. I should probably stop there.
No, please. Every detail's helpful.
Okay, well, Rain Jacket, started eating, Chiz's face.
Excuse me?
You heard me. The man in the rain jacket, the person in the rain jacket, started eating the face of the college student he attacked. See? I told you weren't gonna believe me. It was some straight up floor shit. That kind of stuff isn't supposed to happen around here. So, do you think I'm crazy yet, or should I keep talking?
This is actually helping to explain some of the injuries we found on a corpse, so yes, please continue.
Okay, so, when I saw Rain Jacket biting chunks out of Chiz's face, I screamed in a way I didn't know was possible. Like, full-on scream queen scream. And that made everyone pause in their tracks and look at me. But once they realized I was looking at something, they followed the sound of the ungodly chewing noise, and they all responded in kind. One of the frat guys. I'm assuming they were in a frat at least. He tried to wrestle Rain Jacket off his friend, but Rain Jacket grabbed him by the throat and threw him against the window so hard the window cracked, and I'm pretty sure those are bulletproof windows, and that kid was out cold. Then, the last college kid tried to stop him, and Rain Jacket picked up a butter knife from the table and stabbed the poor kid in the eye. dagger in their hand and pretend to stab their eye with a fork. But this was a knife and no sleight of hand. And the stuff that came out, it didn't look like that off-white coffee creamer. Also, Agent, be mindful. This is all in a matter of seconds, but it felt like I was watching some kind of slow motion montage or something. So, that kid starts screaming with a knife in his eye, but Rain Jacket jams it in further into his head. And then, he shut up dead. So, by this point, Reggie stopped wrestling with the trucker and he jumped over the counter.
Who jumped over the counter? The trucker or Reggie?
Reggie. The trucker got a hold of his gun again and started blasting the remaining rounds into Rain Jacket, and I could have swore he hit him, but Rain Jacket didn't react at all. So, by this point, I'm thinking, this is some kind of bath salt Superman, since he's eating faces and throwing drunk college kids around with ease and seemingly taking bullets from point-blank range. But he just turned his body towards the trucker, and the trucker threw his gun at him. And you know, that didn't do jack shit. I can't tell that I was captivated in watching all this, but then someone grabbed me by the shoulder and I screamed, and Rain Jacket just didn't notice because now the truck driver was screaming in pain. I don't know what happened, but I did see a red mist spew out of the trucker's face or something. But it was Reggie who grabbed my arm, and he helped me up and nearly hurled me over the counter. Then he tried pulling the waitress away from the scene because she's, you know, starting to bleed out. But before Reggie could pull her down the aisle and behind the counter, Rain Jacket grabbed her by the ankles and yanked her towards him. And I'm pretty sure I heard a bone or two snap. Then Rain Jacket did that, like, slow, no, finger wag like that basketball player used to do back in the 90s. I heard Reggie apologize to the waitress, and he leaped back over the counter, and he helped me stand up, and then we ran to his office. I didn't even know it existed in the back of the diner, and we locked ourselves in. So by this point, I'm freaking the fuck out, and I keep asking Reggie, who the fuck is that guy? And he said, I'm pretty sure that's no motherfucking guy, because I've seen everything while working these night shifts, but I ain't never seen whatever that thing is. Then he turned on this black and white TV screen that I guess must have been the Pancake Palace's security system, and we're watching it while Reggie opens a drawer in the desk that was in this room, and he takes out a silver pistol and starts loading it. That's when I saw Rain Jacket smother the kid he threw against the window into a plate of half-cooked pancakes that were covered in syrup and now blood at this point. He then went back to the waitress, who was somehow still alive. I don't know how. I know this, though, because she feebly tried to slap Rain Jacket, but she could barely raise her arm. And Rain Jacket gently, he grabbed the slap and he placed her hand atop her stomach, and then he put his finger in the gunshot wound and he moved it around a bit, and then he put it in his mouth and he sucked the blood off like he was a kid putting his fingers in a jar of jelly and licking away the evidence. And let me tell you, that was the final straw for Reggie. He finished loading that gun and then he said, I'm locking the door behind me and don't fucking open it for anyone. And I just nodded because I'm probably in shock by this point. But I watched the black and white screen and I saw Reggie step back into the diner and just unload immediately on the guy. But once again, the bullets didn't do a damn thing, and Reggie, he just, he froze, I guess. I mean, goddamn. What the hell are you supposed to do after you see some asshole in a rain jacket and floppy hat murder up all your customers and then not flinch after taking an entire round of gunshots? So I watched Rain Jacket round the counter and approach Reggie, but at this point I had to look away. I couldn't watch. I squeezed my eyes so tight, I thought I was going to make my own head explode. I clenched them shut for as long as I could. And when I finally did open them again, I saw Reggie lying there on the floor. His eyes were missing, is over by the griddle, flattening the ice with Reggie's spatula like he was a line cook making himself some goddamn scrambled eggs. I think I passed out when I saw that. I don't know how long I was out for, but I woke up again when someone knocked on the door of the office. Someone. It was, obviously it was Rain Jacket. It was a polite knock, oddly enough. Like a parent knocking on their kid's bedroom door to check on them before bedtime. I didn't move, though. Didn't say anything. Didn't scream. I didn't know what to do. So I played possum. By this point, the storm was at its worst. I think I heard tornado sirens going off somewhere nearby. The locked door handle jiggled a little bit, but Rain Jacket didn't try to break it or the door or anything. I saw him appear on the black and white screen again and look directly at the camera. He knew it was there, but he didn't care. I still couldn't see their face, but I saw their eyes leering out at me from underneath that dumb fucking floppy rain hat. It's like he knew he was making direct eye contact with me through the camera, and just made this simple wave at me, I guess, like it was a little salute, as if to acknowledge that he was leaving, and that I had survived. But at the same time, it felt almost cordial. As if he were saying, see you later. And then, he just walked out into the hurricane like it was no big deal. The power went out shortly after that. Then I remember the sound of something like a train barreling through. And I don't remember anything after that until y'all found me. Sort of wish you hadn't, though, to be honest. Don't know how I'm supposed to go on after seeing all that. Are we done?
Cut the audio. This is no longer a FEMA matter.
Smothered and Covered, starring Courtney K. Written by Tom DeFreitas. Produced by Courtney K. Music by John Caden. Artwork by Judd Hermans. Follow us on Twitter at BloodyHashBrown and email us at BloodyHashBrown@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.